Hello and welcome to Freshies. My name is Phil and this is the podcast for the game development community in the Northern Territory of Australia. Freshies is named after the freshwater crocodiles that roam our waterways. Much like them, we're a little smaller than more well-known contemporaries, but still capable of surprising folks with games that take a bite and don't let go. Please join us as we follow three game development studios creating three very different games throughout 2025, plus interviews with folks across the industry in the top end. This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Larrakia people. Welcome. This episode's guests, plural, are Sky and Deck, two halves of Lil Mochi Studios. They are veteran members of the NT game dev scene, having been creating and working on games since the very beginning of our nascent community. Just last year, they released the excellent rhythm adventure game, Diets and Deities, under the umbrella of Larrakin Interactive, with which they became the very first Northern Territory winners of an Australian Game Developer Award for excellence in music. So if that's not an endorsement to go and buy a game that is entirely based on music, I don't know what is. However, today we are looking to the future and discussing the project that will be driving them forward throughout 2025. What's in store for Lil Mochi Studios? Let's find out. All right, so Sky, Deck, welcome. Thank you very much for taking the time out to have a chat about your 2025 plans.
Yeah, thank you
for having us.
Great to be here.
Oh, that's totally fine. This is all done digitally, so I'm not even having to host and like provide you with bickies and stuff. I've given the listeners a bit of an introduction to Lil Mochi Studios, but would you guys just want to give like an introduction of yourselves and how you see yourself in the studio and kind of what your roles are?
Yeah, I can go first. I'm Sky. I'm a digital freelance artist. I've been making games with Declan about since 2022, actually, and we've been making game jams together for quite some time, really just as a team, because Declan is the digital other programmer and I'm the digital artist, and it's great to have like that little duo teamwork going on with that. In Lil Mochi Studios, myself, I'm predominantly the digital artist, the writer, and sort of the creative elements of that.
Nice. And Deck?
Hi, I'm Declan Smythe. I'm the programmer at Lil Mochi Studios. Worked on Diets and Deities with Sky. And right now we're working on a game called Hexbound together. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun so far planning it out and getting everything set up to go forward into production sometime this year. Yeah.
Very nice, very nice. So you've given the magic word, Hexbound. Mm. So that is the name of the project. Mm-hmm. That's the name of the project you guys are going forward with. So what's if you can give us a heads up, like what is the game about? What's the elevator pitch? If you have one. I know this is our introductory episode.
No. So like we have a few we've written. I can give you the latest one, but I can also just tell you kind of what it's about in general. Sure. So like recently I've had cancer. And Sky is also biracial, and we want to put these personal stories into a game. And so we have looked towards this wonderful medium to like tell these stories, because we think game making is just such a diverse way of storytelling. So the pitch of the story is you're a half-witch, half-fae who has had her magic ripped away by a curse. Your coven and the entire magical forest surrounding it are being slowly consumed by a malignant poison spread by a dying world tree. That's kind of what we're starting with right now, and we'll see what it turns into, because you know, pre-production woes, it'll change a lot, I'm sure.
yes, that is absolutely true. Is what kind of what kind of genre are you looking at? Like that, it sounds like you've got a really kind of well thought out pitch in terms of the vibe, I guess, the mood, and like kind of the mm-hmm. like where you want the story to go and how you want to tell that story. Mm-hmm. What genre are you working within?
So right now we're looking at like a top down isometric sort of hack and slash. With a lot of inspiration from movement shooter style gameplay, lots of movement and combos. We want the main character to be very bird-like. She's half fae, so half of her is bird and very agile sort of character. So we want to be constantly in motion, want everything to flow together really nicely. Yeah, I think that's where we're looking at right now, and bound to change, of course. But
oh yeah, it's as you say, it's pre-production, early days, early doors. Mm-hmm. So like a very, very flowing movement based game. Mm-hmm. How does that make you feel, Sky, in terms of like animating all of that?
Yeah, we decided pretty early on that we want to do a 3D game. Mm. And we've normally done 2D games in the past together, and I think it'd be a really fun, refreshing change. So there'll be some 2D assets in it, but predominantly a 3D modeling. And Declan's really good at it already. I still need to learn and get that started, but I think it's going to be really fun to have that kind of really beautiful fluid animation, especially with like a third person game. And there'll also be like puzzles, and it's kind of a more of a linear story. So I think we'll have really good good ways to explore really fun animations and make it feel really smooth. And yeah, it'll be pretty fun to try a new medium as well.
Yeah, that's actually really exciting because yeah, I think I've only ever played 2D games from you guys, maybe. I can't think of whether or not,
yeah.
I suppose your latest, the latest game yeah, jam.
That one is the latest.
That
one.
That is the first first foray into 3D from you guys, is that right?
Yeah, it is actually. I think up to now, 2D games have been a very low bar of entry. We have skill sets in that area already. And so it's just been like the natural choice so far. But I think we both find 3D to be an extremely interesting genre of game and has a lot of flexibility with animation and also, importantly, reusable assets,
yes.
Actually. Which is wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's actually really, I'm extremely excited to find that out. I did not know that. I had just assumed that you were doing a 2D game, obviously with the pedigree that you have with all of your Game Jam games, with Dice and Deities, all that sort of stuff. But yeah, that's really cool that you're actually like challenging yourself to reach out into 3D. Do you think it'll be from the preview that we had from your Bubbles Global Game Jam game, there was a bit of like, I guess, 2D billboarding. I don't think there was billboards necessarily, but like UI elements and that kind of stuff.
There was, yeah.
Yeah. Is that where you're going art style-wise, or is it going to be more fully 3D, like textured and all that kind of stuff?
I think right now we're thinking fully 3D. But I do also, I think we both actually really like the look of having 2D elements fit seamlessly into a 3D world, like the 2.5D look. So I think we'll explore it. I think like where that could come in is effects, having 2D effects that like billboard to the camera or are just drawn in perspective, if we know what the perspective is going to be. That could look really cool.
Yeah, that's actually really fascinating because Jericho had the same kind of idea where he wanted to challenge himself to go into 3D, but he wants to do it pretty much fully kind of billboarded and also hand. I think he wanted to hand like paint his or hand draw his textures so that it looks like kind of
awesome.
Baked in shadows and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it sounds like everyone's kind of
that's cool.
Challenging themselves. It's fantastic to see. Yeah. Like it's really, really good.
Yeah. I think there was a bit of a catalyst with Arcane recently. Kind of, I reckon that show has inspired many, many people to try out this kind of new direction of 3D with the very painted look.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the animation in that program is unbelievable. So yeah,
truly,
you can definitely tell people are going to get inspired by it because yeah, the results can be absolutely spectacular. So to that effect, I guess, so are you looking to how are you approaching like the, I guess, the push pull between nailing down the art and kind of, you know, getting that pipeline, that workflow going of like producing 3D assets, all that kind of stuff, and balancing that against like the gameplay? Are you kind of doing them, is that kind of where the split occurs between the two of you in terms of like Sky's mostly working on the art side and you're mostly working on the gameplay side, or and the, I guess, are you, and you'll both be working on 3D modeling and that kind of thing? Is that kind of how it'll roughly pan out?
Yeah, right now it's like that. So the pipeline we've set out is I've got Sky concepting everything because we really like, I think actually before I talk about that is I want to talk about the style we want to go for with the game. we love Art Nouveau, which is like this really flowy, inspired visual style. It's very decorative. It's a gorgeous art style, and we want to incorporate that somehow into the 3D models and definitely into the UI. I have Sky concepting a whole bunch of stuff in 2D, which we are vetting and we're going through, and we'll then make a test in 3D, see how that translates from 2D to 3D. And then that'll go into the game, and then we'll apply effects and stuff on top of that, which is separate from the 3D part, because the effects predominantly need to be in engine, just because of how 3D works. And on the other side is programming. Right now I'm putting together a prototype of the combat and the movement and seeing how everything flows together, see if it's fun. I'll probably send it to the NT game designers community and see who likes it, who doesn't.
Yeah.
That could be fun. So that's kind of our pipeline right now. We're concepting everything, and then we'll take it through to 3D into the game.
Yeah.
I'd actually also like to add, I think we have a kind of a unique process between the two of us, I think, because we work so well together that the it's not just me producing art and then it's moving on from that. Declan also has a very wonderful artistic eye, and we really work back and forth between each other of, is this artwork working? How can we improve it? And the same kind of goes with combat or story. Mm-hmm. It's a kind of a continuous process between each other. Like, we're both brainstorming the combat and the weapon mechanics, and also how the character looks and how the feathers are drawn on the character's body and such like that. Like, it's a really good combination of, we're sharing both of our thoughts and values into each aspect. So it's kind of a great working process that I haven't really had before. We've really honed that, I think, through our game jams and with work with Dice and Deities, and now it's kind of a consolidation of that. Like, oh, this is our process, and it's really fun to draw something, and then Declan will draw on top of it with his suggestions, and we'll just keep going on that process. So that's kind of the pipeline we've been doing at the moment.
Yeah, it sounds like it really works to kind of, it's that thing of like not accepting the first iteration of something. Like, you're constantly pushing and, like, yes, you know, challenging each other, but in a really good, like, respectful way to, like, actually take it to the kind of the final form of where it will sit. That's so cool. That's really great. Like,
yeah. I think that's the benefit of indie, I think. Like, being able to work either as a solo in your own space and time, but then if you're working with a small team, you can really, like, be earnest about, like, the criticism and feedback and, like, work on it together instead of just pumping out an artwork for a company and then just moving on to the next task. It has a really nice feeling to it.
Yeah, that's right. I was going to make a joke about you guys calling yourselves Little Mooka Studios if you're doing Art Nouveau. little art joke there.
Yeah, that's joke. Great. I love that. I'll write that down. That's so good.
That's actually really interesting that you guys are talking about Art Nouveau, because I can't think off the top of my head. Maybe Transistor, I guess, by
Supergiant.
I've gone their names now. Supergiant, thank you. That kind of had a hint of Art Nouveau to it from memory. It's been a long time since I played that game, but I can't think of any recent games off the top of my head that really embraced that look. Have you guys done much? Like, is there any?
There isn't really quite like a very well-known game that really showcases Art Nouveau, I'd say. There's a few I've seen that have like more on the UI and some like 2D artworks. I think the main inspiration and the main like use of an Art Nouveau is actually Arcane. Like, it's once you notice it, it's really prevalent in the entire show. Like, the way chairs are designed or certain frames, there's this really beautiful Art Nouveau quality to it. That's probably the main reference. I think a lot of people might not pick up on that look until they've, you know, understand and know the term and everything. But there's not really that many games that have used this before, which is quite exciting and a little intimidating as well.
Yeah.
Actually, to note, in Arcane, specifically only the backgrounds are Art Nouveau. It very rarely bleeds into the character designs themselves.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, as you say, it's you can be a little nervous about it because you might be the first people that are kind of really pushing that, but it also provides you with a selling point. That's a difference. That's an advantage that you can kind of, you know, that can be part of your elevator pitch.
Definitely.
To publishers or whoever in the future. So
Actually, I don't think I've ever seen a 3D Art Nouveau anything, like, even in Arcane, all the backgrounds, they're painted 2D and projected onto things. They're not 3D. Yeah, I've never seen a 3D.
Be a lot of shaders and lots of post-processing to make it good.
it's going to take a lot of concepting, I reckon.
Get stuck into those into the shader pages, that's for sure. All right, let's talk about how you're going to go about in terms of, like, let's get some commitments, basically. Like, this is kind of, you know, this series is about checking in with you guys every quarter, so every 3 months. We're going to be checking in with each of the people that I've interviewed so far, so Dan, Jericho, and yourselves. Where do you kind of want to be? Like, next time I'm talking to you in 3 months, what are you kind of looking to have in front of you? What's the hope? This is your magical Christmas land, like reasonable, but like what are you reasonably thinking?
My project management mirror. 3 months. That's halfway through our planned development for the. Yeah, I think we'll hopefully at least have a working prototype in 3 months. But you know, hold me to that. Yeah, I have the next 6 months planned out. Well, 5 months now. It's the end of January, and that's that's our pre-production phase. I would say it might continue on longer than that. I guess we'll see where we're at in 6 months.
So sorry. Did I hear that you said that you are expecting to get this basically done in 6 months? Is that the?
Yeah. So right now our timeline is in the end of June is the end of pre-production. We'll see if we need to go longer than that. We'll figure it out if we do. But for now, I'm scoping everything to then. So over the next 3 months, end of March, end of April, we probably want to have a good idea of what the combat will be, what the enemies will be, concepts of what will be in the world itself. Definitely the main character, and also ideating what the core characters and story should be at that point. The point of pre-production, to me at least, is to establish all of the pipelines and systems we're going to need to produce the game during production, which means we don't want to actually make every asset for everything now. We just want to make one of each and figure out how we do that. How we make a 3D model, how we animate it, how we make a cutscene, how we plan everything. And so that's the overall goal for the 6 months. And in 3 months, though, I think we'll have something you can run around in and fight stuff, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. And it sounds like your guys' experience working with, you know, and actually releasing a game and seeing it, it sounds like there's a few lessons learned there coming through in terms
100%.
Of 100%. Yeah.
I think the biggest takeaway of Dice and Deities was we didn't really have a pre-production on that game. We kind of launched straight into it, not really knowing any better. And that did come to bite us in the ass a few times. The genre of that game changed like 3 times during the launch. It initially was a cooking management top-down sim of a kitchen, and it ended up being a rhythm game where you dodge notes coming at you. So, we spent a lot of the development time was figuring out what we were developing, and that's very expensive for game development, which is already like a very passionate industry, but not very profitable for indies, at least at the start. So when you can save money, you should save money.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess speaking of workflows and I guess tooling and all that kind of stuff, what are you making this in?
So yeah, we're going with Godot for this one. I've been testing it out for the last 2 months or so, and I think it's a really wonderfully designed software. I think with the latest 4.0 release of Godot, it's gotten to a point where it can easily rival like the likes of Unity and Unreal Engine in just being able to make a game that's good. Even before that, you could still make a good game. It's just you had to fire the software a bit for it. But now it's I think at an industry at a level that indies could use it in industry. And it's been really enjoyable to use. I used it for the last couple of game jams, and it's a lot of fun. It's a bit of a hit to productivity to relearn an entire software. Coming from Unity, it's not too bad, but getting over that hurdle has taken some time.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And for stuff like concept arting and all that kind of stuff, are you in the Adobe world, Sky? Are you Affinity? Are you like something completely different?
Yeah, I use a lot of Procreate. That's kind of my most comfortable software, like on the iPad. It's definitely just the most, for me, super convenient and super comfortable. It's what I've been using for a long time. I'm interested in, like, I have a drawing tablet and I'd like to use more software, like especially Blender, but Clip Studio Paint is an art software that's quite similar to Photoshop. We're trying to avoid Adobe just because of the expense point. I'm trying to use a different combination of things, but I've found that using whichever software works best for you is sort of the most important thing with art. A Photoshop can be great, but a free software you can get on your phone is also good too. So that's kind of what I've been working with.
And dipping into Blender as well, if you're going to be doing 3D stuff.
Yes, 100%. A bit nervous, but I think it'll be really fun to try it.
Oh yeah, it's Blender is I don't know, it's pretty much the poster child for how other softwares should develop themselves. Like it's come from this extremely finicky piece of software to something that anyone can just kind of pick up and go and watch, you know, CG gurus. Tutorials and you know, make a donut and then, you know, the world's your oyster, basically, right? Like it's super good.
I love Blender.
Yeah, it's just such it's a blessing. I hope Godot follows the same kind of restraint in just focusing on their own thing and not trying to be everything, like what Unity kind of got stuck doing. Is there any like specific, I've been asking everyone this and I know it is like early days, but are there any like specific things, like say plugins that are in Procreate or tools or like add-ons that you've found in Godot that are helpful, or even stuff in Blender? Like, is there any specific invaluable tooling that you've found already that might be helpful for our listeners?
I'll let you go first, Sky. I do have some stuff for Blender in Godot.
Yeah, I think for me, like with my art, I have found, you know, there are so many different great free brushes you can find online. I can't think of the name off the top of my head, but it's really easy to look up like Procreate free brush, and finding one that works for you is really great. But also a lot of the time you don't need to find the perfect brush, as they say. And a lot of art tips, you have to just use whatever works for you. If the standard airbrush tool works, it's great. Actually, I have been finding hard airbrush has been like my friend, and that's just the most standard basic thing. And I have so many downloaded brushes that I've tried to use, and they just don't work for me. That's feeling really fine. So using what's comfortable will make the best art. I think actually in terms of productivity, we've been really loving Miro. We really learned that through Diets and Deities, but gosh, like there are different productivity things you can use for game development, like a Jira for task tracking. But Miro has been the perfect combination of like a visual space to just collate all my references and images as an artist. But then we can also have really great brainstorming sessions in Miro. It's found to be our top thing we use all the time.
As for Blender, I don't really have many for Godot right now. I'm still looking into that, but for Blender I have quite a few add-ons and whatnot. For sculpting, actually just Base Blender is pretty good for sculpting. Yeah. For modeling, for retopology and modeling afterwards, Quad Remesher is amazing. It's a very, very helpful tool. It's not wonderful for getting great topology, which is kind of needed for animation, but it's very, very, very helpful for like if you're producing environmental assets and or character rigs that don't need super detailed animations. It's really great at decimating the geometry in a controlled way that doesn't result in awful, awful loss of detail. On top of that, Blender's texture painting tools aren't very good. So I've been trying to find a solution that isn't Substance Painter. And as of right now, I'm using UCU Paint, which is a free Blender add-on. And it seems to be doing all right. I think I might end up using Substance Painter anyway. I'll guess we'll see in the next catch up if I resorted to that in the end.
But for now, I'm trying to keep everything pricey, free. Right? Like,
yeah, it's pretty pricey.
I feel like that's the reason. I've never used it, and I'm pretty cheap, so that I feel like that's probably why.
yeah, definitely. Like, I'm hesitant to include it in the pipeline, just because it's so expensive. But I think you can get like a single time purchase license from Steam for like $300.
Yeesh.
But at least it's not a subscription, so.
Yeah, that is.
As for Godot, we'll probably end up using Fmod with Godot. I know there's some plugins for that. I haven't looked into it yet though, so I can't share too much right now. But yeah, actually, Godot has a lot of really good functionality built into it. I haven't really needed to look for many add-ons for it quite yet. But I guess as we dive deeper, we'll find more things. So
yeah.
Yeah,
no, makes total sense. If you want some, one of the other episodes in this first batch, Jericho goes through about 8 different ones that he really finds very useful. So you might find a couple in there that might be useful. Who knows?
Cool. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I guess we're getting close-ish to a half an hour, which is that's roughly what we want to sit in. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about in terms of? I guess the story. I know it is very early, and so I totally understand if you don't have anything kind of prepared for like the story and the mood and the vibe and that kind of stuff. But like, is there anything that you can tell us more about the actual like journey that the player is going to be going on? Like you're playing as this character that's trying to fix or get out of this forest or heal this forest. Is there anything? Yep. More you can tell us about, like motivations, antagonists, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so like the main antagonist of the story right now is the World Tree, who kind of spawned the entire forest and is currently dying, and taking the entire forest with them as they die. Right. The main character, play as Rain, and she is like the only half-human, half-fae creature in the forest, and because of that she's fairly outcast. She's ostracized by both communities. I think... sorry, I just need to gather my thoughts a bit. I'm piecing together the story as we go, and we have lots of ideas in the air, and it's like nothing's quite settled in yet.
That's totally cool. This is the first episode, so we're not actually expecting you to have a fully written out story. But yeah, no, that makes total sense. Like Rain, I like that. Rain coming through and like healing the forest. Yeah.
We spent a very long time thinking about a name. And
It's really important though. Like it's
yeah, definitely.
Definitely sets the mood. Are you in terms of I guess. Final release, are you going to aim for mostly, like, is it aimed for PC? Are you going to think about console release, that kind of stuff? Or?
Yep, I think we'll definitely be releasing on Steam. We'll look into console. There's nothing stopping us from releasing on console besides the fact that Godot doesn't natively build the console, so we would have to convert that ourselves. It's definitely not, it's a possibility. For now, it's just Steam. Is what's planned.
I would love to try like porting to console and just kind of getting that experience because we didn't get a chance to do that for Diets and Deities, and I'm kind of excited the idea of like having the game on Games Pass and just more so getting those experiences. Like, I'm not sure if we're doing a publishing anything, but having the experience would be really valuable just for all our future projects and to help other people out. And how hard was the process to get on the Switch, which I know is already very difficult, but it'd probably be even harder when you actually have to do it. So it'd be good to have those things done.
I did port Dice and Deities to mobile, and it works, but only on Android, because porting things to iOS is a veritable nightmare. just a forewarning to any would-be developers without a Mac device. Good luck.
Oh, that garden is well and truly kept, is it? Walled.
Yes, very, oh, nice. Very much so.
That's a bummer. Yeah, because I'm sure there'd be plenty of people out there on IIS that would want to play Darts and Deities, but
yeah,
maybe something for us. A break. When you need a break from this one, you can...
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah, no, I will port it to iOS. I need to rip a few nails out first.
Yeah. No, that's... Yeah. And jam them into your eyeballs while you're doing
it. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Is there anything else you guys want to... Any grand promises and grand statements that you want to make about the game? Or is there anything else you guys want to talk about it? Because we can... Otherwise, we can probably wrap up around about here and keep people on their toes.
I think I'd like to kind of, as a goal for myself, I think for like the 3-month timeline is like getting a lot of art done and being able to have some really cool images to share with like the game designers community of like the concepts for landscapes and character designs. And we're at the moment still trying to work on the character design, but we were getting very granular on her bone structure and all these different ways to make her hair look and everything. Wow. And we were like, let's figure out how the environment will look. And so I'm really excited in the next few months to like get really into painting, which is something I haven't really done before. Like the world's quite inspired by fairy tales and the sort of magical forest, so we're going to have some really fun, unique fae characters. So that's going to be something I hope to have, like a bunch of different designs and ideas sort of concepted out.
Yeah, there's a cautionary tale there of be careful of the rabbit holes you fall into. It's good to take a step back every now and then and evaluate what it is you're working on and if it's necessary at that time. I think
that's like pre-scope scope creep.
We can't help ourselves. That's kind of the one cautionary thing. Yeah, when you're both creative and both like ideating on things, you just get in this loophole of like, oh my god, we have to stop like worrying about this detail right now. This is like month one, but it is like fun to be able to do that though, then not answer those questions for a really long time. So it's a balance, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's also important to get excited about it as well, right? Like you you might spend, you know, a few days going down a rabbit hole, but you're building that like excitement and that like investment in the concept and the project. Obviously you guys probably are pretty good at pulling each other up eventually out of the rabbit hole. So, you know, a bit of distraction. And who knows, like, you know, this is all stuff that goes into the concept art book that you sell after it becomes a smash hit. So
that would never be a dream. Oh, my gosh. Yes. I saw in Melbourne last year they had the Untitled Goose Game, is that what it's called? An exhibition in Acme, and it was just so cool seeing like the concept art. Like they had the scribbled notes, concept notes and ideas in like a little setup, and that would just be amazing to have, like, keep all these notes and all these ideas and one day being able to like share them in a book or something like that would be really cool.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Sweet. All right, well, yeah, thanks again so much for joining me today, and we're releasing these probably in the next, I don't know, couple of weeks from now.
Cool.
And then we'll be checking in on you guys in another 3 months. And I for one, cannot wait to see all those amazing environments and that kind of stuff. Hopefully by the time we come around to the second lot of episodes, I will have worked out how to do video editing. That's my challenge to myself. Because currently this is going to be a pretty straightforward visual for YouTube, but... hopefully by then we can, maybe with your permission, we can put some of the images up so people can have a look while they're listening.
That'd be awesome.
That sounds awesome.
But
I highly recommend DaVinci for video editing. DaVinci Resolve is very good.
Yes. And another free open
source? Yeah, it's free. Is it open source? I don't think it's open source, but it's just free.
Yeah, that's a solid rec. Mm. Absolutely. All right. Well, I'll let you guys get on with your current, you know, holiday in Melbourne.
Thank you.
And thanks again once more. Yeah.
Thanks for having us. It's really awesome to be able to share our story like that and our progress and hold us accountable as well.
Yes, absolutely. Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Have a lovely day.